Morning, we come to our final message in the series of upwards. We've looked at a variety of different words that encourage us to move higher to a greater commitment or a better understanding. Each word ended in up. And this morning, we're going to conclude the series with light up. Look with me, if you have your copy of Scripture, look with me in Isaiah chapter 9 as we think together about light up. As we built the new house, the builder had a good idea. I had mentioned to him that it would be easier if all of my Christmas lights outside could be connected to one switch, so that I didn't have to go outside. See, every year I have to go outside, walk all the way around the house, and unplug all the extension cords every night. And you kind of lose some of the joy of Christmas when you're out there, you know, at midnight, and it's misting, and it's cold. And yeah, and so I said, you know, it'd be great if all of them worked on one switch. Well, he figured out even better than that, just having one switch, let's put that switch in the bedroom. So, man, I can stay in my shorts all evening, and when it's time to go to bed, I just go to the bedroom, flip the switch, and crawl in bed, and it's done. And, man, I love it. But, you know, the reason that I wanted to do something like that is because I love the Christmas lights. I don't like putting them up, but I sure do like seeing them once they're there. Christmas lights, man, it just, when you see those lights, that just screams Christmas. You know? That's one of our traditions, probably is yours as well at some point during the Christmas season, but one of our traditions is Christmas Eve, we come here first, then we go home, we do some neat things at home, and we drive around town and look at all the Christmas lights that we can find. Then we go back to the house and we do the rest of our traditional things there, read the Bible story and watch A Wonderful Life and all that stuff, you know, yeah. But it's cool to go around and see the lights, isn't it? Because that's just part of Christmas. Why? Why are lights such a big deal at Christmas? We don't do that for very many other holidays. Why is it such a cool part of Christmas? Well, the reason is obvious, isn't it? It's not about the candle or the light bulb. It's about the true light of Christmas. In Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet looked forward through many, many years. He looked forward through the centuries. And he saw Messiah coming. And for him, he saw it so clearly that he spoke about it in the present tense. Although it was not going to happen for hundreds of years, he spoke about it as if it had just happened. He saw it that clearly. And he said in Isaiah 9 and 2, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Some translations go ahead and put the future tense there so we don't get confused. And it says, they who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Now think about that. That's a description of when Jesus comes. They who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Something's going to change in the world when Jesus comes. He describes the world as a place of darkness. You know, the year 1809 was considered a very bad year. The world was a dark place in 1809. Napoleon Bonaparte was leading his invincible army across Europe. He was literally altering the face of the map of the world. However, in that very same dark year, Abraham Lincoln was born. Oliver Wendell Holmes was born. Alfred Tennyson was born. William Gladstone and Felix Mendelssohn were born. In that dark year, there were some very important people who were born who changed the world for the better. In the time that Isaiah is describing, the time when Jesus was born, it was a dark night. In many ways, it was dark politically, economically, morally, religiously. Rome was overtaking the world. It was a dark night. And God hung a star in the sky to announce the advent of His Son. He hung a star in the sky. He chose a light in darkness to declare, Jesus is here. It was the darkness before the dawn that Isaiah saw. He said, they who walk in darkness will see a great light. The dawn will come. And that's the first thing that I want us to think about, that the light will come. Isaiah promises it. He says, one of these days, our dark world will change. One of these days, a light is going to shine, and that light is going to change the world as we know it. Isaiah was writing in a very, very difficult time, especially for his people. They were going through one of the worst times in their history, and he says, but it's going to be okay, because I can see it as if it's happening now. They that walk in darkness have seen a great light. The promise was the light will come. But then also notice the promise, the light has come. Because Isaiah saw him coming, told us he would arrive. And then when Jesus came, he explained to the people who he was. And he said in John 8, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Isaiah said a light would dawn, that a light would shine, that would change the world. And Jesus showed up and he said, folks, I've been with you about 30 years now, so just in case you hadn't figured it out yet, I'm who Isaiah was talking about. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, you know, sometimes when we use symbolic language, it reaches us on an emotional level, but it doesn't always connect on an intellectual level as far as understanding. What in the world does it mean that he's the light of the world? What does that mean? I love it. It sounds great. It makes me feel good, but what is he saying? And what does it mean that we walk in darkness, but now we have the light of life? Well, think about what it is to walk in darkness. You ever get up in the middle of the night? Lights off in the bedroom. You got to make your way through the bedroom to wherever you're going. In the darkness, you don't have a clear sense of direction. You kind of know you want to head that way, but you're not real sure where things are, and so you kind of have to feel your way around. You're not clear on your direction. You also have to be very careful, because in the darkness, it's easy to get hurt, to stumble. That's why you got to feel where stuff is, because you can't see the danger in the darkness. You see, Jesus comes and he says, I'm going to give you the sense of direction that you have when you turn the light on. I'm going to give you I'm going to give you an understanding of life that helps you avoid the dangers when you turn the light on. Jesus says, I am the light of the whole world. And everyone in the world who will come to me won't have to live in darkness anymore, wondering where to go and what to do, unsure of the dangers that are out there. You don't have to live life like that. I'll come and I'll turn the light on. Change your whole world. Change your whole perspective. He says, I am the light of the world. That great Christmas carol that we always like to sing, We Three Kings. In We Three Kings, they sing to the star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. See, it under the author of the words of the great carol, John Hopkins, understood the star is not the star of the story. The star pointed to the perfect light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. One of the reasons that we celebrate Christmas is because it's a way for us to say, indeed, the light has come. And then finally, I want you to see that the light is here. The prophet said the light would come. Jesus said the light has come. And now I want us to understand in another way that the light is here. Because Jesus said something very interesting. After he said, I am the light of the world, he looked at his disciples, his followers. He looked at us. And he said, you are the light of the world. You see in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light. How can that be? Isaiah said a light will come. Jesus said the light has come. And then he said, we're the light? How can that be? How does it make sense that he's the light of the world and now we're the light of the world? Edith Wharton summed it up well. Edith said there are two ways of spreading light: to be the candle or the mirror that reflects it. You see, the perfect light has come. And now he allows us to be his reflection, to be the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now, notice as well something that always strikes me when I hear that phrase. He never says to the disciples, I hope that you'll become the light of the world. Try to be the light of the world. You're one of the lights of the world. He says, you it. You are the light of the world. So when his disciples don't disciple others, or we fail or forget to tell those around us that the light has come, when we live in such a way that does not reflect the true light, there will be no light because we are it. The light is here. I read a story not too long ago about a boy who lived in New York City many years ago. And he wore ragged clothes, was unkempt, unclean, lived in kind of a bad neighborhood. He was out on the side of the street and he had a mirror. And he was kind of playing with it and pointing it in this window over there. Man came by and said, hey, the man just assumed the kid was up to no good. Why would you be shining a mirror up in somebody's window? The man said, boy, what are you doing? And he said, well, my little brother is up there and he's been sick for a long time. He can't get out of bed. He hadn't been able to get out of bed for many, many months. And he said, the only sunlight he ever gets to see is the sunlight that I reflect through the window. You see, the only way that folks will get to know the light of the world, the perfect light, the true light, is when they first see us reflecting that light. And the way we live, and the words we say, the truth that we tell about Jesus. We reflect that sunlight. And so Jesus says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's one of my favorite verses. Matter of fact, we almost always end the Christmas Eve service with that verse. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and clap for you and tell you what a great guy you are. Let your light so shine that the world around you sees your good works and they give you awards and accolades and throw parades for you and tell you what a great guy you are. What does he really say? You let your light so shine so brightly among men that when they see your good works, they give glory to God. That's hard for us because when we do good stuff, we want people to notice. Jesus says, you're the light of the world now. You're my reflection. When people see your good works, do it in a way and mean it in a way that they recognize that you've been changed and give God the glory. There's a little boy that went to Europe with his family. And one of the things that people like to do when they go to Europe is they like to go to all those old cathedrals. And they went from cathedral to cathedral to cathedral. They're beautiful. And the boy was just amazed with the stained glass windows. So many of those stained glass windows were pictures of the disciples and some of the saints. Well, he came back and he was telling his Sunday school class all about it. He said that he talked about the great cathedrals and the beautiful stained glass windows and how he saw pictures of saints. And Sunday school teacher said, well, what is a saint? And that little boy thought about his experience and he said, a saint is a man the light shines through. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Then he says, you're the light of the world. May we be those kinds of saints that lets his light shine through. We conclude this message, but more than that, we conclude the series this morning by saying to you, light up. Light up. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. The true light has come. When we plug in those Christmas lights and we light those candles, let's do it to remember the light of the world has come, and the light was given to us in darkness because God loved us that much. Father, thank you for that love. Thank you for that light. And as we think about what a great gift you've given us, help us that we might respond by receiving that gift, being saved, being set free, but also help us to respond by sharing that gift, by letting that light be seen in us, by letting people see that we belong to you. This Christmas, help us be the Christmas lights that bring celebration to our neighborhoods. Father, if we If we need to do business with you in some way, we need to make a commitment to you, we need to take that next step in our journey with you right now to let our light shine. Help us to know what it is you want us to do. We pray in